Today, our topic is our theme, which is returning to our first love. We trust God to continue to take us as we welcome our brother Anthony Ihie to speak to us today.
Don't worry, I know you don't want to clap for me, don't worry. It's okay. But at least I'm back. So that means I didn't offend you too much last time. Praise God. Please, let's stand to pray. Let's stand to pray. Thank you. Lift up. Thank you. All right. But before we pray today, you are going to help me with a little assignment the Lord asked me to give you, if you don't mind. We are going to greet each other, but I want to give you some instructions before we start greeting each other. If there's somebody you have something against, particularly, I want you to greet that person first. You may find that it's the person next to you. I'm not talking to any couples here. Right? But we need to greet each other warmly. If you have something against somebody, you need to go over, just shake the person, say a kind word to the person, you know, so that the anointing of Jesus can flow. It says if you have aught against your brother, that you should try and make up. Praise God. Thank you, thank you. Some of you may need to send an SMS. Some of you may need to send a message to somebody. That person you are holding may not be in church. Yes. If you have anything, yes, especially if it's your wife, if it's your husband, you didn't enjoy breakfast as the breakfast was not nice. Praise God. All right. Amen. Okay, is the other microphone? Okay. All right. Praise God.
All right. Those that needed to send SMS, maybe to somebody in the village, did you have time to do that? To say, I forgive you, I love you, everything's okay. Have you done that? No? Should we give you one more minute to do that? We don't want this anointing of Jesus to spoil today. Everybody must have a heart of love, a heart of kindness. You know, if you need to send an SMS, it's serious. Send it. Let it go. Let it go. All right. Let us pray. Now we can pray. Father, we want to thank you so very much for a day such as today. Today is Palm Sunday, the day we mark your triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Father, today is a special day, and we want it to be a special day in our own lives. We don't want today to be just like any other day. It is a day we want to return to our first love. Lord, we are asking you for the right hearts to return to our first love. We're asking you for kind hearts, for soft hearts. Remove every heart of stone here. And give us a heart of flesh. The heart that only the Holy Spirit can give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Please sit down. God bless you. If I made some of you exercise more than usual, I apologize. The Lord bless you. Today, the topic, returning to our first love, is actually a little bit more than it's a little bit more than I can deal with in the time I've been given, because the matter of the first love is so big that I know that as we go on with the series, others will deal very well with the first love, and we'll touch on it today. But today, the Lord will have me deal with the matter of returning. Just that word, return, is what we can safely handle today. I looked in the dictionary. The meaning of return. And I was actually surprised at how many meanings of return there are. But I'm just going to deal with two. I think two are relevant to us in the matter of returning to our first love. The first one is to go back or to come back. That's the first meaning. To go back to a position that we were in, or to come back to a position that we ought to be in. Right? Now, it can be a physical position or it can be a state. Like, I know many of us who are now paying bills are wishing that we were able to return to university days when daddy and mommy were paying the bills. Something like that. To return. The second meaning, I think, is going to have relevance for us, especially for those who are investment people here, which I know most of you are very good investors, is the return in terms of profit. The return. The gain. The result. Giving a return to our first love. Our first love requires a return. And we are going to look at that today, and the Lord will help us. In our scripture, we read from Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. I just want to pick on verse 4 of that reading. I know we read from verse 1 to 7. In Revelation chapter 2, it says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." That's in the New King James Version. I'll read it from two other versions for us. It says, "But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. That is the New Living Translation of the same scripture. And then the Passion Translation says, "But I have this against you. You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning." You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. Now, as I was meditating on this yesterday, I realized that actually the word return is presumptuous. It's presumptuous. Why is it presumptuous? It assumes you were there. When the Bible says, "Return to your first love," it assumes you had a first love. So, you will find that this return, this message, actually is not for all of us. As we go and explain, you will find that returning to this first love does not actually apply to all of us. Because you had to have had a first love. And that first love had to have been Christ. What is the state of being in that first love? I would like to illustrate with the life of one of the disciples who I think can help us understand the matter of returning to the first love. The good thing about studying the disciples is that this church particularly is lucky because it's a lay-led church, meaning that the leadership of the church is actually sitting, is each one of us, right? Is that right? We are the leadership, right? So when we read something about Peter in Scripture, who are we reading about? So I can safely read and reference Peter in this particular matter. Let's look at how Peter came into the Lord in the book of Luke chapter 5. Let me read from Luke chapter 5. Okay. I will read from, from verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that the boats began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, now this is where I want to put the emphasis now on verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Now, you know what happened after this was that they left all. They left their fish. This mighty catch that they were toiling for all night and they couldn't catch. Finally, Jesus came, gave them a great breakthrough. I mean, many of us are praying for breakthroughs here. I don't want to ask by show of hand who wants a breakthrough. But I'm sure each one of us is waiting for that. Here was Peter with a great breakthrough. Boat full of fish. More fish than he had ever seen. More than enough for himself, John, James, their father, and so on. Well, you know, I could have thought that for a man that just had a breakthrough, he would have incorporated a fish canning company, or a sardine canning business, or a chain of fish restaurants. He didn't do any of that. When we find the first love, we leave all. Peter abandoned the fish. He abandoned the boat. He abandoned his ambition. He abandoned his way of life. And he followed Jesus. The Lord is giving us a glimpse into the first love. What are the things that we see? The first love, when we have a first love, it requires forsaking our old life and ambition. Luke chapter 5 verse 11. Forsaking our old life and any ambition that is attached to it. Any desire for fame. Any desire to be an earthly establishment. All those things are forsaken in the presence of the first love. Number two. When Peter encountered Jesus, he said, "Depart from me, Master." Why? "For I'm a sinful man." He was able to mirror his life and see sin and the wretchedness of his life. When we encounter our first love, we are able to see the sin of our lives. We are able to recognize that this life that I'm living is going nowhere. And so Peter retreated. "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Because he had seen holiness. He had sighted the first love. Anyone who has had this first love will know what it is to depart from sin. Don't forget, Christ came for one purpose. I know many of us use him for all kinds of things. We use him for healing. Of course he heals. We use him for comfort. Of course he comforts. We use him for all manner of things. We've even used him to do projects, to build houses. He does that. No problem. But the Bible records, when the angel came to Mary, the angel said to Mary, he said, "You shall give birth to a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel. And he shall save the people from their sins." When the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, cast eyes on the master, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I think that's what's on our right here, yes. He came to save from sin. So if we have discovered our first love, we would have been saved from sin. Amen? He came to save from religion. You say, "Brother Tony, what is that one again?" The first love came to save us from religion, which is the outward worship of God. All religions are prescriptions of outward worship of God. The first love came to internalize the worship of God. In John chapter 4, when he was encountering the woman at the well, he said, "Gone are the days," I paraphrase, "gone are the days where you will go to Jerusalem, to one holy place, or you will go to the mountain to worship the Lord." He said, "Now is the time that the Lord is looking for true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and what? And in truth." It's internal. In Luke chapter 17, when the Pharisees accosted Jesus, "See, this kingdom of God, when will it come?" He said, "The kingdom of God does not come by observation. You cannot say, 'Look at it there and look at it there.'" He said, "Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you." Luke 17, I think that's 21. So, when we have discovered the first love, we will find that religion is now internal. The worship of God is now internal. I no longer need rules to have me do the right thing. I am now internally regulated by the Holy Spirit. The fact that I will do the right thing is not because you'll be angry if I do the wrong thing. It's not because I'll go to jail or not. No. It's because internally, the life that I carry internally just does the right thing. The reason I will not abuse a child is not because that the father will quarrel with me. No. It's because internally, the life that is there internally is a life that nurtures. It's a life that loves. It's a life that is good. It's a life that is kind. That's the first law. What else do we forsake? Now we're going to get a little bit more technical. We forsake everyone. When you find the first law, nobody is important to you anymore. Actually, you forsake everyone. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. I thought you'd be flashing these scriptures for us so that it doesn't seem as if I'm just... Luke 14, 26. If we just flash that, we can just look at it quickly. Right. This is Jesus speaking. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes! And his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Like I said, we don't have time to dissect this today. We're just touching on it. When Jesus says hate, of course, you know that there's no hate in the Lord. He's talking comparative to the first love. Comparative to the first love. You forsake everyone else because of the first love. And lastly, what do we forsake when we come into the first love? We forsake offense. Offense. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We forsake offense. What does this mean? It means that, you know, nobody can offend you anymore. Why? Because the first love, the life of the first love, is a life of kindness. It's a life of goodness. It's a life of forgiveness. It's a life of compassion. Do you know that Jesus had one attitude towards sinners that baffled me? Jesus hated the religious leaders of the time. Why? Because they were hypocrites. They claimed they were godly, but they were not. Jesus hates hypocrites. But Jesus was so drawn to sinners. He had dinner with them. He forgave them. He defended them. And I wondered, why do you have such attitude to these people? Jesus has the attitude of compassion. Compassion. So if somebody offends you and your first love is active in your life, you only just have compassion on them. Why? Because they have not experienced the first love. So you have compassion on those who offend you. Imagine. Imagine if those people that really offend you, you know, I like using couples because, you know, there's a reason why God pairs us with our opposite. You know, opposites attract, right? Right? Opposites attract, right? Yes, yes. For those of us that did physics, we know that. The same thing seems to happen in marriage. You just see two different people. But yet they attract. And you'll find that if there's anybody that God has sent to discipline your life, it's your spouse. I don't know how that happens. If there's anybody that can get under your skin, it's your spouse. Right? Imagine a situation where you no longer take offense because of your first love. Wouldn't that be amazing? Would that not be amazing? It would be amazing. Amazing. Whatever they do. And you know the funny thing about this? It doesn't take two. It doesn't take two. The two couples to have the first love. It only takes one. No matter how terrible the other one is. Once one half of the couple has Jesus, they will always forgive the other one. Do you know that? They will always forgive the other one. They will lay down their life for the other one. That's how it works. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, so this is the reason why the Lord was saying, you know, this matter of first love, leave it all. Because what I've described now, if I ask how many people have this first love, you will understand what I'm saying. Because if you don't have the first love, how do you return? How do you go back there? Many of us have never been there. Most of us have never been there, I dare say. Most of us have never had the love of Christ that changes your life so that the things I'm describing now become you. That's the truth. But that's what the Lord is calling on us to do today. Because if you don't get there, you cannot return. You cannot return. We're going to pray. We're going to pray very seriously this morning. So I will leave some time for that. But I want to show you in the life of Peter that left all to follow his first love. Do you know what happened to him? You know what happened to him? After, first of all, you know he denied Christ, right? Before he went to the cross, right? You remember, he denied Christ and it seemed he was very sorry because he cried and cried and all that after he denied Christ for the third time. And he remembered when the cock crowed and he was crying, right? Do you remember that? We are Bible scholars here now. This is VFC. We do Bible study. Yes? Yes, okay. So Christ goes to the cross. Do you know what Peter did after Christ went to the cross? Does anybody know what Peter did? John chapter 21. Back to what? You see, Peter went back to fishing. And when he went back, when he said, I'm going fishing, some of the disciples said, oh boy, we'll follow you. And a number of them went with him to go and start fishing again. So I want to read what Christ said to him. So Christ had risen and Christ had gone to meet them where they were fishing. And in case they were looking for fish, the same fish, you know this Peter. Peter is a very bad fisherman. He didn't catch fish again. Do you know that? Christ had to now go and be roasting fish for him now. This one was not a breakthrough fish or big boat. No. He was just fishing for breakfast. And he couldn't catch fish for breakfast. The same Christ went to roast fish for them. We don't have time, so I won't go into that narrative. But I want to show you the return. That's the second return in terms of what Jesus is demanding to return to the first love. John chapter 21. Now, I read from verse 12. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples did ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Brethren, there's the matter of the first love, which we have described. Some of the things that happens when we discover the first love. But there's the matter of return to the first love. Not only returning to that place of forsaking all for Christ, but to feed his lamb, to tend to his sheep, to bear fruit in the kingdom. It's time to pray. How are we bearing fruit in the kingdom? How can you bear fruit when you have never met the first love? How? Many of us are satisfied to come here every Sunday in our best outfits, worship and go home till the next Sunday without meeting the first love. It won't do. It won't do. I'm here to tell you the truth. Sunday Christianity will not help you if you have not met the first love. If your life does not reflect Christ, your prayers, whatever you are doing, is like a clanging cymbal before God. God only recognizes Jesus Christ, actually. If we had time, I would have told you about the nature we were born with. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and verse 8 will tell you about that nature. That nature can never please God. That's why Christ came. And Christ came to live inside of us. Christ came to give us, to live his life through us. That's the confession of Paul. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I. He says, the life I live in this flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and died for me. That's Paul's confession. And I tell you what, if you have met the first love, that will be your confession also. Because of time, I also cannot tell you my own testimony of how the Lord changed me, how I met the first love. I was nothing like this. I don't know how many of you would like to meet the Lord this morning. It's a serious matter. I'd like us to close our eyes as we pray. It's a serious issue. And I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to call you, actually, if you've never had this experience, I'd like to call you forward today. Not because I want to call you forward, because the Lord has impressed upon me that it's serious enough to give people the opportunity that have never experienced this matter of forsaking all, where you become, I don't want to use the word obsessed, I don't want to use the word fanatical, but it may even be appropriate to use those words, where you experience Christ. You need to receive a new life. You need to come to the cross and let your old life end. So I'm going to call those who would like to pray with me to come forward. If you'd like to pray with me, come forward. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. You've never experienced what I described. Please, forget about the cliche that is done in churches and all that. This is a call for those who want to follow Jesus. I'd like you to come forward and pray with me. I'm going to pray now. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Just come forward. This first love I'm describing, you've never experienced it. You cannot return. We're going to be doing a series of these things, a series of this teaching. And it's useless to keep saying return to first love, when the people have never experienced the first love. You've never had any change, any visible change in your character, in your life. You have just carried on. Please close, let's close our eyes. Don't look and say, oh, who is getting up, who is not getting up. This is a spiritual exercise here. We want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Don't be shy. The Lord wants to save you today. Yes. You know that the Lord is telling you, it's you. It's you they are talking about. It's you they are calling. But you are still sitting down. You are shy. Don't be shy. We are praying. Lord, we want to experience the first love. The way Peter experienced it. When the breakthrough did not matter. When the business did not matter. When the ambition did not matter. Lord, I want to experience you like that. Is there anybody like that here? Oh, there are so many of us. But we don't want to. We don't want to. Should I not call you forward? Would that make you pray the prayer? Would that make you pray the prayer? God bless you. God bless you, my sister. All right. Stand in place. Just stand where you are. Stand where you are. If you want to pray that prayer. I know there are many of us that want to pray that prayer. But you must do it openly. You must do it openly because there is a turnaround. God bless you, my brother. Thank you. Thank you, my sister. You must do this prayer openly. Please, don't just sit there. Don't say, oh, I've been coming to church. I'm a founding member of VFC. But you have no testimony of the first love. No testimony of the first love. Your first love is still money. Your bank account still controls your temperature. Your investments, when they go down, that's when you are sad. When they go up, that's when you are happy. For many of us, for some of us, it's our family. Our first love is our family. It won't do. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Please stand up where you are if you would like to pray with me. All right. I thank God for those that the Lord has come for. God bless you in the back. God bless you. Thank you very much. We're going to pray now. Just giving an opportunity, one more minute, for whoever wants to join these that have stood up. Please pray with me. Say, Lord, I've heard our brother, and I realize that I've never met you in the way he's describing. Lord Jesus, I'd like to meet you specially today. I believe that you died for me, and I believe in the finished work of the cross. I repent for my sins and I turn away from them. From today, I would like to experience this new life that our brother is describing, the new life of Christ, the first love, so that I can not only return to it, but I can also make returns to you, my first love, Jesus. Lord, write my name in the book of life and help me. In Jesus' name, amen. I will pray for you now. And for any other person who wants to join this prayer, Lord, I thank you for today and for how you have spoken to us. Lord, this is not church as usual. This is Christ coming individually to each one of us. Lord, we want to experience you. That life that you paid so dearly for on the cross, we would like to experience it. We would like to experience a change of heart. Lord, give these ones a new heart. Those promises you made in Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27, that you will sprinkle clean water on us, you will take away our filth and idols. You said you will give us a new heart. You said you will take away our old stony heart. You will put a new spirit within us. You will cause us, Lord, to do your commands. Do this miracle in these lives in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, if you stood up, please just stay after service for a short meeting. We'd just like to speak together on bearing this new life. God bless you. God bless you.